Hi guys, I'm Steve Moneypenny here with The Practical Shooter, and I've got Bill Duda with us. Bill is one of the few people that you would call are very multifaceted that's been in our industry for quite a few years now. When I started with the Blue Bullet shooting team in 2015, he was already there. He is still one of their shooters, but he has expanded into a number of things, including match directing, his own business doing jerseys and all kinds of cool stuff. Welcome, Bill.
Hey man, how you doing? It's kind of weird being on the other side of this.
So, just to start off, just kind of tell us about yourself a little bit, and you know what you want the people to know about you and what you do in the shooting sports.
Well, I started off 2010 shooting USPSA. Came back from a deployment where I had read about multi-gun and was all excited and figured. Rifles I've been training with for the last 8 years, and shotguns are basically area weapons. So those pistols, though, I haven't really played those pistols much. And I've been playing USPSA ever since, because I still haven't, as I would term, I haven't mastered the division or, you know, the sport. So probably won't get there. I'm getting older instead of younger. So, but I stopped match directing 1 year. I told him, I was like, I'm going to do it another year for the area match, and then I'm out. So, you know, let's try to get our ducks in a row and make sure that we get somebody on board. And then for that year afterwards, I just found myself twiddling my thumbs with all this extra free time that I wasn't doing towards matches. And I ended up just bored one day and ended up starting up the whole Go Fast, Don't Suck thing. And now we do dry fire decals, including swingers and, you know, some other stuff like that. We've got a lot of swag between hats and shirts and stuff. I do. And then when we started this, I also picked up doing jerseys. And we got, you know, I have a really good deal with a shop near me that we handle doing jerseys and screen printing or whatever needs to be done. And that was essentially because being a match director, I would have liked there to be like a single point for me to go to and be like, hey, you know, do you got any idea what I can do for t-shirts? What is it going to cost? Like, I don't know anything about this, where to get art done. And then jerseys were just expensive and there was companies coming in and out. I think we went through two companies at the time that I was doing it that actually ended up folding, not because of us, but shortly afterwards. I think all three ended up folding. Like, we were their last hurrah, and they were like, ah, screw this. But it was, so I wanted to be able to be that single point and be able to get a decent price out to, you know, shooters that didn't want to spend quite as much and matches where we could, you know, help save sponsors and the match a little money where they can turn that around and put that into making their match better. So
that's awesome.
Of course.
Banner counterpoint right there.
Oh, yes, we do banners. We do a lot of banners. Right now we're handling banners for three major sponsors of the sport. And by handling them, I mean, they basically just tell us the matches that they're sponsoring, and we make sure that those banners get to that match in time for it. And if there's, like, you know, a set of big banners and, you know, it's cost effective to try to recoup them, we'll send them with return labels and turn them around to the next match, all without it costing the sponsor anything more than what they would have paid otherwise. So
that's awesome. I think that really helps us with the look of our matches and making things look and seem more professional. Not that they aren't professional, but all the little details take away from the big picture, I think.
Yeah.
And the more of those that can be put in, the more time that, you know, the match director can put into making the match awesome. See, I know you were 2-time Area 8 match director, maybe more.
Three for the area, and I did one for my section before that. And then afterwards, we did I helped a new Billy Sargent, who's actually on the Go Fast Don't Suck team now. He wanted to run the Delaware State match, having no match director experience. So I did a lot of helping him through, you know, the first year, and then, you know, his backup for the second year. So that was good. I was, one of the things I was happy about with that, not only being 30 minutes from my house, was, you know, I got to step into the role of range master and see how that was actually going to, how that felt to be in that position. Cause otherwise I've covered all the other positions in a match. So it was interesting to have done it that way too.
So how did you like working as a range master?
I didn't mind at all. I don't have a problem hurting people's feelings, especially when there's a rule associated with it. If you show up to the first stage of the match and you eject out a snap cap, you know, you're DQ'd, man. I'm sorry. I understand you spent the money and drove all the way here, but you caught that so many times before that first stage.
Or you could have been like me. You just showed up with a gun with a broken firing pin that worked the day before.
So, yeah. Breaking your gun is one thing. That's, yeah.
Yeah, that's leaving things in, it's different.
I'm always hesitant. Like, I'll go from, I'll clean my gun, go to the range, shoot it, be happy, come home, put it right in the box. Unless I need it for dry fire, it won't come out of the box. Because, you know, and that's like leading up to a couple days before the match. Because I know I'll do something stupid and break it between having test fired it. And
I did exactly that for a Western PA section one time. I got out, you know, load and make ready. And all I got was click out of the gun. And of course, it was an M&P, but at the time, I had like the only M&P at the match. So
nobody had parts for you.
No single part anywhere. When I called Smith & Wesson, I asked to order two firing pins. He said, look, we'll replace this one, but I don't know if we have a second one to send in the parts bin. I'm like, well, okay, thanks.
Hey, you're a nice guy.
But yeah, they overnighted it to me, but the fact that, you know, that was a Saturday and, you know, that was it for that match.
Yeah.
And I zeroed the 160 point stage.
Well, so when you start playing with carry optics, you'll definitely run into, wishing you had a backup something sometimes.
You know, I have, of course, as you know, I'm sponsored by Gray Guns also. I have every single piece of that gun
in backup form. Yeah.
In a backup. And it's not just for me, you know, for somebody else, anybody that sees me in a match and you have problems with P320, come see me. I can probably get you up and running without a problem. And it just, you know, a lot of redundancy. I've had had a friend of mine I was riding to a match with come up and he picked up a ammo case. So what's this? I'm like, gun parts. He's like, why are you taking a 50 cal ammo can full of gun parts? I'm like, because things break. So I fixed his shotgun the next day after the match.
Yeah. Needless to say, it was necessary, huh?
Yes.
No jokes now, do you?
Yeah, exactly. He was happy the next year to load that. And he's like, do we have anything that we don't have parts for? I'm like, no. He's like, that's good. I don't want to break anything.
Yeah.
So you do a lot of stuff for the industry, for just competition shooting. What is your day job? What pays for all your toys and habits?
Oh, yeah. Well, one would hope that it would be the side job would eventually pay for all of my nice new toys and stuff. No, I do. I'm a service engineer for a company that produces a medical imaging device. So I go around through my territory. I'm actually the company trainer and the technical support. So if there's a problem with, like, you know, another service engineer is having a problem, I'll fly in and help him with his system and things like that. So electronics engineering background, stuff like that.
Cool. So that explains your ability to work with scoring and organize everything.
You know, I've always told people, like, I know how to use the equipment. I know how to work on the equipment. I don't necessarily know how to use it. In this case, it's a little bit reversed. I was more understanding how to use it at being a ROCRO than I was on, you know, setting up a mesh network and stuff, but it wasn't anything beyond my skill level to learn and fuck up a few times.
Yeah. So are you a range master or are you a CRO?
I'm CRO. Oh, that reminds me. My test is due. I need to do that.
You need to do that test. And, you know, it might not be a bad idea to start with the range master program too. Those guys aren't getting any younger.
They won't. Well, let's see. How do I put this? I have been informed that I am unlikely to be considered as a range master candidate. There are hurdles to jump through to get into that. And if not everybody's on the same page as you, then you won't be jumping it. You won't be clearing any of those hurdles.
Well, it never hurts. wish I could throw in the video of the person that missed their first hurdle in their match. And, and I'm not sure we all saw that. He slid about 30 feet, but he still finished the race. So what all shooting sports do you shoot? I know you saw that you mentioned seeing multi-gun to begin with. And of course, right. The price of rifle ammunition makes that nearly impossible now.
Oh, I've never even made it to a single match. I've got that have gone and invited me, and I've just never had the time or made the time to go. I've got a really nice rifle that'll definitely play the game. I've got, I only have a pump shotgun. I mean, unless they're going to let me shoot a 20 gauge autoloader, it's not, I'm not really going to be very competitive, but I just, there's people that said they'd loan me their guns and stuff too. I just haven't been able to make it to one.
Everybody will loan you a gun in a multi-gun match.
Oh yeah,
that's everybody. Not a problem. It's like I need a shotgun, and people will throw shotguns to you.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
They just want to see if you can get it to run because they've been having
exactly. Let's see how he clears the jam. So, what all the other sports do you shoot? I know you've shot some IDPA also, but yeah. Are you active in that or just having fun?
No, I was. I was having fun with it. They were doing nationals here at Talladega the 1 year, so I wanted to go play. So I made an effort to go to a lot of IDPA matches to make sure I had the points. And then just completely bombed nationals. It was a total shit show. One of the worst performances I could have ever brought my name to. But it's not a sport for everybody. There's a lot of more rigid rules. If you like kind of making up your own thing or trying to solve the puzzle yourself, it hasn't historically been the avenue to find that fill for your need. USPSA is a better fill for that. And that's kind of where my home is. I started up a Steel Challenge Club here in Delaware. And that was mainly because my kid, she was 7 at the time, there was no shooting sports around that she could play with a rimfire gun. And I was like, well, we'll start up this Steel Challenge. And when she got, you know, turned into a teenager and didn't want to play with dad no more, I ended up turning it over to a couple of good old boys at the club there. And they've been having fun running ever since. They always took it more seriously than I did as far as the competition side of it. So it was nice to see some guys that were actually that really enjoyed the sport running it at the club. I mean, I was doing all the stuff that you were supposed to do, except for the Christmas match. That was always a lot of fun. We did a lot of different stuff. But it was the whole thing was an outlaw match. It was crazy. We had on one day we'd have something like 15 different pieces of steel. They'd be painted, you know, green, red, and white. And there was a handle, and you push the handle over and the bottom would be painted. So you push the handle over and that's the color that you had to shoot that string.
Awesome.
It was weird stuff like that to add some fun. And it was a good time, especially loading up my SUV with an entire Steel Challenge kit. Carl McGeever, I can't pronounce his name. Carl. Over there at GT Targets.
Yeah.
When I picked up, he's like, there's no way you're making it out of my driveway because it had a grassy hill. I was like, oh, we're doing it, dude.
So I put my order in. I actually started a Steel Challenge Club in Michigan with a friend of mine, and they decided to give up, and I couldn't find anybody else to run it. So I'm like, well, I've got like $3,000 worth of steel sitting at a range in Michigan and none here on mine. So it was like the middle of February. I took a Mercury Grand Marquis and picked up the entire Steel Challenge. So I left them like 2 plates for practice stuff and a couple of stands and stuff to say thank you for housing it for me from the time over the winter so I could get there. And I loaded it down. And I put that stuff in the floorboards, on the front seat, in the back seat, in the trunk to get all the weight equaled out.
Where are you? Back...
Go ahead.
Just wherever you can get it to fit, yeah.
Exactly. So, I feel that pain. Then I made the 9-hour drive back to my house from Detroit. And I'm driving down the road, and I look up behind me. I'm like, well, it doesn't seem that slick. And I see a truck kind of wiggle behind me and spin out and go into the median. But maybe I should slow down a little bit.
A little slicker than I anticipated.
Yeah. So, I can completely feel with loading down with stuff with steel.
Yeah.
So what all divisions have you shot and are you going to shoot like this year in USPSA?
This year will be limited. If I do anything else, it'll just be for shits and giggles. The Infinity Open out there for that, probably go ahead and play around with an open gun and a carry slide 2011 up carry. I don't know what that's called, but probably play around with something out there with that too.
I think their idea is to call it limited optics.
Well, whatever whose idea is, it's definitely something.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to go all that way, shoot a match, and not do all the divisions when they allow you to.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Well, and so the pretend division thing is actually like a Friday outlaw.
Yeah, it's a level one type match. It's not sanctioned.
Well, you still can't call it a level one because that's sanctioned. So it'll be an outlaw. They're calling it a hit factor match. And then the limited and open matches are two separate level twos with a combined score for another outlaw match. As far as combining your open and limited scores to make a overall. They did that before with, or USPSA did that before with what they call it, Classic Nationals, back when I shot Revolver.
Yeah.
And that was Revolver and Single Stack was combined. You shot them as a separate match, and then they would combine them for a combined, like, extra prize you could get. So that was actually a fun idea, and I like it. So, yeah.
So you've shot Revolver.
I have. Right. Back to the original question was divisions. So, I have made master in Revolver, carry optics, and limited now. I have aspirations to hit master in limited 10. I mean, same as limited, but hit master in limited 10 as well before I even consider moving on to another division. And those are earned. How do I describe? You can play around and find the classifiers you want to shoot to be able to make GM in almost all of the divisions. But I'd rather it be an earned percentage rather than a finagled percentage. So I'll just hang out and, you know, shoot the division until I feel I'm good enough to have shot a master level score at a major. I have yet to go to a limited nationals because I honestly just don't feel prepared to go to a limited nationals and compete at the level I want to compete at. So,
what's your limited gun? I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but for those who don't,
that would be my Atlas Nemesis in 40.
And someone shooting one of those guns won nationals about 2 years ago or three.
Yeah, I think.
Pretty sure that's what JJ won with.
JJ, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I didn't know JJ had an Atlas.
He doesn't.
He had his own brands he was playing with. So
I think he was shooting. He shot something else that year, and it was like one of those back to back type nationals things. And somebody handed him a limited gun and said, "Shoot this." And I'll have to fact check that. I'm pretty sure that's the way it went. He was like second or third in the division. Everybody was picking him for.
I do know that one of the top national champions actually went ahead and purchased himself a set of Atlas limited guns instead of trying to do sponsorships. So I thought that was pretty dope. He believed in the brand enough to put his own money down instead of asking for handouts. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I got to play with some of them out at SHOT Show. I actually got to take a couple of them home one night. I was in Vegas and they didn't have firing pins, so that was kind of sad. But they are an amazing gun, and they're pricey, but
Yeah.
The amount of work that goes into them is amazing.
They are. How do I describe? It's a completely custom build now. They're not even like the gun that I've got is a PT frame, but they have their own frames now with replaceable palm swells on them so that you can custom make the grip of the gun. I mean, it's a completely new setup. They've covered all the divisions and including some that don't exist in the sport. And except for maybe like revolver and single stack, but I mean, they've production, but they've got what you need, and man, they just run. You can break anything. I mean, I've broken it, but the turnaround for getting a repair or service on it. And these things are, and this is the other thing, like we're talking about cost, but if you look at what you're spending on it and how well it runs, it's totally worth it. If you're trying to be competitive and you're trying to win, it's not that people can't almost win with a Canik. It's that maybe if that Canik was an Atlas, it would have been a win for sure type of thing. You know what I mean? But when it comes down to like the gun itself, if you're running, I don't care if you're running a Phoenix or, you know, an Atlas or an Infinity or any of these guns, right? You need to have it serviced once in a while. And if you're not, like, if you don't know what you're doing with a couple files and firing pin stops and stuff, don't do it yourself. Send it to these guys. Have them service it once a year. Because it honestly makes a huge difference in the reliability of the firearm. Because
One of those companies that one of the few companies that actually puts a service pack on their website. Like if you want to, like, hey, send us your gun, we'll service it for you, type of thing. A lot of I'm not bad mouthing any of the other companies, and they'll do it if you ask, but they don't advertise and put it out there of, hey, you should have this service. Like our car comes with a service manual.
It comes warranty on it, but you still got to change the oil, right?
Like right, exactly. They'll keep going, but you have to service them. And Atlas put that out there. You know, these are your service intervals, and if you're not comfortable doing it, send it to us, and we'll do it for you. Because it's a lot easier to do that than it is to fix a gun after the slide's battered the frame or vice versa.
Yeah. I look at it like you have a car. You take your car and you put air in the tires. That's pretty much equivalent to me as, you know, doing a deep clean on your gun, right? Like you're not really doing anything and taking apart, cleaning things, put it back together with some oil, but when you send it to these guys, they do way more than that. Although I will say, don't be a dick. Clean your gun before you ship it.
They'll clean my gun for me. Oh, that's great. Here's $300. Clean this thing.
Yeah, it'll be. I don't know, but I know that if I was offering a service like that and I got received a completely filthy gun and I was told that it won't run, I'd be like, yeah. I ship it back to you with a cleaning kit.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm one of those guys.
Thankfully, I'm in the meme business and not in that kind of customer support role, because I probably wouldn't do so well.
When I started shooting at 320, Bruce Gray's trigger job was the way to go, bar none. So this was before they even had kits. It was like 2014, 15. So I actually couldn't find one in 9, but I bought one in 40 and found a 9mm slide. Sent the gun to him, and Bruce was like, I'd like to check over your gun. And I'm like, I'd like it if we wait till like later. And he's like, why? I'm like, because I need to clean it.
Yeah.
He looked at my gun.
Well, those guys, weren't you?
This thing would work. Yeah, I am one of them. Why clean it if it works?
Yeah. All right. I'm going to have to take back some of the things I've said to you, because you do have to clean them.
Did you know if you spray enough CLP in them, the dirt will remove itself?
Oh, look, you can't even come to me with them weak stories. I was in the military. I had an old boy come up to me and tell me that his dad told him not to clean all of the carbon out of the gun, because when it heats up, it acts like a lube.
I've heard that it works as a gas seal also.
It works as a sealant, like an adhesive if you wait too long. Yeah,
exactly.
The problem is, I think the kid was not – he wasn't special or nothing, but his dad was working off of old technology. I know that they had like muskets and stuff. If the gun was a little bit dirty, it was easier to get that musket ball down as the information I've been given, I have not shot muskets. So please, if I'm wrong, don't come.
I have played with them, and a slightly dirty bore is easier to get. You have to use less bore butter to get your patch
gunner. So, I mean, that's where I think the kid's dad was coming from, and he just completely misapplied his dad's wisdom. So.
Yeah, I'm not the world's greatest about cleaning guns, that's for sure. But I understand the principles, and I work on them, and I work on other people's guns. So
I understand the theory behind guns, but I'm not putting the effort into making it happen for myself.
Yeah. So are you going to try Limited Nationals this year, or?
No.
Not?
This year is concentrating on the brand, the Go Fast, Don't Suck brand. We've expanded. I've made some quiet announcements of it, but I'm waiting. Quiet announcements. I made some announcements about it, but I'm waiting for this first event down here at Area 6, where I'll have everything together, and it'll be outrageous, and I'm looking forward to it. We've picked up Southern Barbecue. We've got Premier on board. We've got Guga Rivas on board, Atlas on board, Red Hill Tactical on board, and Hunter's HD Gold on board. And we will have tables with their products, including, you know, our own, as well as we've had some people come to us that want to do some other types of business at matches with us. And while it's appreciated, I have to limit how much how much attention they get, because I've made partnership deals with these guys. I want to make sure they get value for their contributions. So yeah, it'll be awesome. I've got a huge shipment of Guga Rivas coming in. I'll just grab one.
Oh, they have backpacks.
Yes, they do backpacks and range bags. They've got their own. I don't know that I'll have that. I haven't seen it. So I've got my Red Hill Tactical holsters. So I've been working on putting stands together to display them at the match. So I'll have a bunch of those. It's stupid little cheap bending Kydex thing, but it's a way to get this stuff out in front of people. If you don't know, you haven't seen their work or something, I'll have it there on site.
They actually have a bunch of those stands very similar to that.
That's if they have them at the shop, but they have it for their own needs. Now I've got I've made some myself for doing the same thing.
They might not be at the shop. I think they're in a storage unit in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. We had them at shop. That's right.
Come
that's
to think I of it.
I knew I'd seen them somewhere.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's one of the things that I've really been missing. So I've been shooting since 2000. I've said that a few million times. But back then, when I shot my first area match and I shot my first nationals, that was like a kid going to Disneyland, because STI was there. EGW was there. I don't think CZ was there. They were at some of the other future ones. But, you know, if you wanted a gun part, you could literally walk down. We had two of what I call them circus tents. They're like 20 by 40 tents lined with vendors up at East Huntingdon that you could just walk in and pick up whatever you wanted.
What match was this again?
Nationals, way before you were shooting.
Oh, okay.
They actually had a national championship at East Huntingdon shooting range. They had an Area 8 there one year, and that year immediately after they had USPSA Nationals there. They had a few extra bays built. They had like six of those big circus tents up, all kinds of feeding going on. It was amazing. I think it was – I want to say – yeah. Well, they had a caterer that came in, and they had like premium-type sub sandwiches and all that stuff. And then they had like a couple of other little food vendors. So if you were hungry throughout the day, you could come in and get whatever else.
Right.
I mean, it was really a premium event back then. And that's something that it just seems like over the years, nobody wants to send their people to nationals. Nobody wants to do any of the other stuff. And that is one of the many things that, you know, myself and some of the other guys that are running for president want to push, is to get back this level of event where people want to come to it. I know that at least four or five different nationals that I went to, I stopped and talked to people that had never shot a USPSA match before, but they heard about nationals going to be in their area, so they came out to watch. And I know at least a couple of them came to matches after that.
Right. And I think that was something, I mean, that's why I asked the way I did, because my first major match I went to, there was nothing. Even the Revolver Nationals I went to, there was nothing, but I didn't expect anything because there was already nothing. Mm-hmm. All of the area and section matches I've been to beforehand. So I don't think it was until I went to IDPA Nationals or IDPA World Shoot down in Talladega where I saw my first, like, you know, more than the ears guy.
Yeah.
And it was awesome, dude. I was stoked. When I was running the area match over here, I tried so hard. It was always, I had Cabela's even come out one year. We had one of the local reloading and supply guys. He would come out with his trailer, RSP Gun Shop. He would come out and completely, I mean, he had everything. If you ordered ahead of time, he would just bring it with him. That way you didn't have to pay for, you know, hazmat. Nowadays, people would love to just pay for hazmat. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah.
We had Bobby. That was when we started with Barbecue, and mm-hmm. never looked back. That it just made things so much easier as a match director, and the food was always outstanding. And then it was like we had Cabela's come out one year, but they didn't quite understand what we were about, so they had like a fly fishing booth set up. And it was, you know, I was like, okay. Atlas came out for a couple of the years and was actually saved some competitors by doing gun repairs, and it didn't matter what 2011 brand you were shooting. They just mm-hmm. they would just do the repair you needed and get you back on the range. It was awesome having that there, the vending, and it made it feel more like an event and less like a bigger local match. And if you're running a level two or you're running a level three, you can find a match to go to and actually see the difference between, you know, your standard level two that is basically show up to a safety briefing and have ROs run you through the stage, versus actually having a completely different atmosphere. It's so much cooler, man. So much cooler.
That's awesome. That makes me really want to go to Area 6, but since that would be like a turn and burn for me from Clinton House, maybe I'll find somewhere to stay at down there. I'd get in trouble if I did that.
Don't volunteer for something you can't afford to get out of with the spouse.
Yeah. What do you mean you're going to be gone? Yeah, I knew you were going to be gone for a week, but 3 weeks? Uh-oh.
You're sick of looking at me. You said yesterday you were sick of looking at me.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, right before I started this podcast, I said, boy, you walk heavy upstairs. She said, I wish you could get your own room to do this podcast instead of doing it in the basement. Okay, honey, I did. It's a motel room in Atlanta or South Carolina. Yes, that probably wouldn't make her too happy. So mainly doing that. So let's see, who are your other sponsors besides the Blue Bullets? You've been on their team for a long time, and Atlas. Who else are you sponsored by?
Hunters HD Gold. Now sponsored by.
Yeah, this gets very tricky when we're both dealers and working with.
So I, as Bill Duda, the competitive shooter, which is no longer a Facebook page, I'm sponsored by Red Hill Tactical, Blue Bullets, and Atlas Gunworks. And obviously, Go Fast Don't Suck. Go Fast Don't Suck is partnered with, and Hunters HD Gold. I think I'm all of these companies. The only one that I'm sponsored by but not partnered with is Blue Bullets. And that was no kind of me trying to be anything other than, I know those guys are doing awesome work and I do business with them. Otherwise, it was whether or not I'd be able to haul around a couple tons of bullets to have at matches. I wasn't able to do that. So if I can figure out the transportation of, ammo for projectiles for people to bring home, then I'll do that. But otherwise, I don't think that's going to work out, guys.
Until Priority Mail like really start sticking it to us. I mean, it's really, I mean, it is really hard to justify carrying 70 or 80 pounds of bullets when somebody will just bring them up and set them on your porch for you. You know, and that's just for one order. You know, you start talking about people that want multiple yeah. cases of bullets, and you're like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's I completely see that. And then, you know, everybody wants their profile, and I don't know how many bullets the Blue Bullets are making now. So I know that every one of them comes in a round nose, a tourniqueted cone.
Truncated.
Yeah.
You made a new word there.
Yeah. It's hillbilly. I do speak that language.
That's what it is. You were using the hillbilly. Gotcha.
Having exactly what everybody wants in each bullet weight would be, like you said, thousands of pounds of bullets.
Yeah, I just don't have the throughput to make that work. Or not throughput. I don't have the springs on my truck to make that work, I think.
Yeah. So I used to be friends with the guy that had the first ever really coated bullet, which was precision bullets. And I think his name was Dave. He was out of Texas, and he would show up with a 1-ton truck and a 30-foot trailer with like four axles into the trailer to like whenever he'd show up for a nationals, because that's the only thing he had.
Yeah.
And one year he went to he was driving a Ford truck because it didn't have OnStar or any of that stuff. He parked it at the La Quinta Inn and came out and found it was gone. Just the truck. So now he's like 5 hours from home with a trailer that he needs a dually to tow. And
yeah. No truck. What a bunch of jerks. Didn't take the whole rig.
Well, the rig was left at the range next to this was in Tulsa.
Oh, okay.
So the rest of it was left at the range, which is next to the police department. And he called the police. They told him, so it's probably in Mexico by now if it's been more than 5 hours.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what can I do to prevent this? And the guy looked at him and said,
go home.
Buy a Chevy. Because this is back when they were the only people that did OnStar.
That didn't make it so happy.
So, yeah, that's – transportation is going to be killer this year. That is absolutely for sure. So – let's see. I already got what you got planned. It's not going to be shooting great. It's going to be hopefully making our sport look really cool. What if there's anything that you could change about USPSA, what would that be? I'm not going to do IDPA in the change because we don't know what changes are about to be made.
Because IDPA, I actually tried to get a phone call because I'm trying to put the postal match together for them, and I haven't been able to get a phone call.
They're very busy until the 1st of April, I believe.
Yeah. Well, and by put a postal match together for them, what I meant is we're doing a postal match for including IDPA this year. So the question is, what would I change about the sport? I'm going off on a tangent. What would I change about the sport? I don't think anything really. I think the sport's doing well. I think most of the excitement we're seeing is people throwing around opinions to try to make them into reality. And I mean, that's how any of these division changes ever happen, which is fine. I'm not necessarily for or against. I don't see the need, but it would be another division for me to try to master as all. Like it's another gun I'd end up having to buy down the road. But I'm not for or against it. If you actually watch our memes, we're just making fun of everything. So we'll make fun of both sides until the topic is either resolved or goes away.
Yeah.
But it's not like it wasn't like the halls of USPSA Power came together and were like, hey, we should make a new division. What should we make this new division be? It's starting off as people saying, it started off as, you know, the industry saying, hey, we've got this great gun that nobody's shooting in competition. And it's competitors that actually have the gun are like, yeah, we would love to shoot this gun in competition. And then, you know, well, you can shoot it in open. And they're like, nah, we can't have, we don't want to put compensators on it. You know, it's like, it's a shorter frame. It's frame mounted dot. So it's basically carry optics. And they're like, no. And it's a fun argument going back and forth with them about that. It's fun to watch and be a part of, I guess.
I'll say that early on, you know, I shot my first big classifier match in L10 and production to get classified in those divisions. So it's really a big, I guess you would call it a smelting pot. It kind of boils down what everybody wants. And it takes a few years before things ever really get figured out a lot of times. I know that what I think is funny is I talked to Bob with Red Hill Tactical the other night, and he's like, yeah, I've been doing this, trying to get him to put this in for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. I knew when Bob initially brought it up to me. It was or when I initially heard him talking to somebody about it. And I was like, we just created Carry Optics like almost no time ago, it seems. And now we're already talking about changing it again? I'm not ready for that. But that was my internal thoughts.
Yeah. Can you believe it was actually, I think it was, was it 2016 that Carry Optics was the first year of its provisional division?
Yeah, that's back when my kid was shooting and still loved me.
Yeah. Make sure she sees this. Oh, because I shot with the Gray Guns team at that match. I actually got picked up by them at the production match. And they say, hey, will you stick around for a few extra days and shoot Carry Optics? I'm like, I don't have a gun. I'm like, well, you have half a gun. So, and you're already shooting a 320, so just switch guns with this guy. So a bunch of us shot, you know, hey, this is your partner when he, you know, separate these guys on the squad. After he shoots, this guy's going to walk over. They're going to walk over to the safe area, switch guns to the other person.
Yeah. I've seen plenty of times it matches.
Yeah. So, it was 2016, and it's really hard to believe to me that it's been that long, because it does feel like a very new division, and the things that have been upgrading and changing in that length of time. I'm not picking sides in this argument. I'm like, you guys figured out, and if I'm in the position, I'll either vote for it or against it, depending upon what it is at the time. But it seems to me like we're almost there with every other gun. I handled a guy's Shadow 2 this past weekend. And I said, yeah, this is my Carry Optics gun. What do you think of it? You know, pull the first trigger. It's like 3.5-4 pounds. I'm like, wait, that was a double action pull? And then he's like, try the single action. I rack it, and it's like 1.75 pounds. And I'm like, so the difference is if we called this allowed single actions in this division, you'd flip the safety on and not pull the 3-pound trigger the first time.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's.
And that's the justification for it.
Yeah.
I mean, production division, I mean, production optics is what this was
designed to.
Intended. The initial intent was it. We, I don't know if you remember, but the initial division was 10 round mags as well.
Yes.
I mean, you could have a 140 millimeter magazine, but you could only put 10 rounds in it. And then they went to whatever, just stuff it.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, so it evolved a little bit, and then it sat, which is nice because it's been pretty not stagnant, but it's been pretty consistent. And it's nice that people get to, you know, get other opinions, and you see a lot of people shooting SIGs or Glocks or, you know, CZs. And it's turned into a stable division that people can go and play in and not have to worry about a bunch of different equipment changes happening. Now there's a lot of people rustling Jimmy's trying to get the division, either get the division changed to allow, since it's already basically allowing it with the first pull being a double action, or to create a new division. I just see it as like, damn, really already? But whatever, it's the nature of the game, so let's go.
And we also have to understand that, you know, all this craziness and drama, I've got to see this for a lot of years. The most craziness and drama happens before the 1st of April and after the 1st of November. Because, I mean, it's cold. What else are we going to do?
Yeah. We're bored, so we're just sitting at home waiting for
exactly
the weather to let us go back to the range.
Exactly. So, let's see. Other things on current events. This is kind of a selfish question. What would you like to see from a USPSA president? What qualities do you think it needs, and what actions would you like to see them take?
I plead the fifth.
I'm not asking about myself. I'm not asking about Ye Min. I'm asking about a gray man that we don't know who would be up there. Just in general.
What do I think a USP? What do I want to see in a USPSA president? I want to see him to be able to take a joke.
Oh, on the running. Crap already. Oh.
Oh man, there's just too many hurt feelings sometimes. It was about you, but it's not really about you. We're just making fun to make fun. And what do I want to say? Take the sport seriously, and I don't want to see any change right now. Like I'd rather see us stabilize, which is what's currently happening. We're gonna create an election, and there's some people that have these grandiose ideas and stuff, and I'm like, okay, well, and what I'm looking at is, well, how do you actually intend to implement that, considering you no longer have the power to do the things that you want to do? Mm-hmm. So, well, I keep hearing, I'm going to do this and that. And I'm like, no, that's not part of you can't do that. You're going to have to get the board to do that. Sure. But you can't do that.
A lot of that stuff. And I've said some of that stuff and people have said the exact same thing. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I'm going to do that, but that's not part of the job of president. And there's some of the stuff that I've been doing and working on that it's going to happen whether I'm president or not. It doesn't matter who's president. I'm still going to be doing the things I'm doing to help promote, especially our local clubs and just getting things out there for the industry. My bottom line is I kind of love the gun industry. I played in the car industry for quite a bit, and I think the coolest people I've ever met are in the firearms industry.
So, I hope you like it.
Yeah. Well, I came back to it.
Yeah. So, and that happens though. That's not an uncommon occurrence. There are people that get out that just, they don't want to deal with it anymore. Or they lose the drive to keep going to the range and trying to perform well, or some young buck comes in, or hell, sometimes it's an RO that just totally ruins their entire experience for them and they don't ever want to come back. And then down the road, somebody's saying, hey, I'm going to this match, I'm going to have a good time. And like, I haven't been in a while, let's go. And then they find out that they're no longer, their firearm's no longer relevant for the division that you play.
Oh, no. So it's funny that you mentioned that, because when I kind of stepped out of shooting around 2009 and 10 a little bit, and I took about 3 to 4 years off without shooting hardly any matches. Now, I still shot. I've been carrying a gun since I was 18, so I've always kept current, kept shot.
Sure, yeah.
Just what you would do if you're carrying a gun. I wasn't shooting competition guns, but there's just two guys that really did ruin it for me. I traveled and shot with both of them for a while. One of them's name was Bob Vogel, and the other was Ben Stoger. Now, I would consider these guys, I still consider them friends, but at the time I would consider them very good friends. And there was nothing that they did against me is that I couldn't keep up with them. I'm like, I can't win world championship.
They hurt you in the abilities field.
Yeah, the abilities fields were killed. And I was a couple years older than both of them, and I'm like, crap. These guys are outrunning me. Bob can bend in ways that I can't even think about how to get in and out of that car. I had him beat in an IDPA match one time. And they put the last stage we had to shot was like stage their shoot was stage 12. They put us in a Ford Escort. He got 12 seconds on that stage because you can just picture me trying to get out of a Ford Escort without pointing my gun at myself.
Yeah, you can see why I was laughing now, because that was hilarious. Yeah. I got that mental image. That's all I needed.
And I'm just like, I was bummed. I mean, he was like a second half. He did really good. And I'm like, get in the trunk. Riding home in the trunk. he didn't. But, so that was the thing. It just kind of killed my ego of, thinking I could get to the top of the game. And I no longer have that ego. I know I'm not going to be the top of the game. But I still enjoy being around it and shooting it. And hopefully I can do some things that will – Let other people get to the top of that game.
You think that's bad? Imagine being a police officer and thinking that because you carry a gun all day that it makes you a firearms expert, and you go get your shit pushed in by a 14-year-old girl. You may decide that the sport's not really for you, and it's just an unsafe expression of firearms. When you,
I've seen that happen at the range.
I really feel – I try to tell if I catch a new LEO coming on, I'm like, hey, guys. I was like, this isn't the stuff that you're used to doing. I was like, you're going to experience something new today called losing. don't let it get you down. If you have any questions, definitely come and talk to some of the more experienced guys. We'll try not to laugh at you too hard.
Yep. And what's funny is the car racing thing is so very similar to that. You get these guys out. Yeah, I've been to this driving school. I've been to that driving school. And I just bought this new Corvette. I'm like, well, you see that little girl over there driving her daddy's car?
Mm-hmm.
She started driving a go-kart at 4 years old. And she keeps winning with it. And she comes out, and, of course, her daddy's car is a race-prepped car. And yeah. The rest of us are just sitting there going, this ain't fair. She ain't got her driver's license yet.
Yeah, it's not fair that I can get beat by somebody without a driver's license.
Yep, because you have to be 16 to compete. It doesn't say you have to have a driver's license.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
so, yeah. As far as the addition of the new division or the inclusion of 2011s into carry optics, I'm not terribly opposed against it. I just would prefer there to be some stability in the divisions right now.
I completely agree, and like I said, as president, I'm not. I'd like to see everything just chill for a bit. We can keep changing things and basically just keep chasing the tail, or we can, I think, just chill out with the divisions, with the rule changes. I don't want a crazy long moratorium or anything like that, but I think we just need to focus on making everything better that's here. And if things like that then become a solid need for it, we will slowly work that in and get to it, hopefully, as the need arises. I think it is definitely our job to not stagnate and react to new things in the market immediately, but at the same time, we should not be the market leaders in change, if that makes any sense.
Should not be the market leaders in change.
So we shouldn't say, hey, I see this trend coming 5 years from now. Let's make a division for PCCs with a brace on it, so to speak.
Sure.
If it's going to come, it's going to come, and we shouldn't be part of the creation of that niche, maybe I should say.
Yeah, I think they did a good job with carry optics. I didn't understand that it was becoming what it became. I mean, you look around at the, at the guys running around in camo, and you got kids out playing airsoft, and they've all got carry optics guns now.
Yeah.
So it made sense.
I mean, the last people to adopt are cops, right?
Yeah, they've got.
And they have a dot on their gun.
Look how long it took them to get out of revolvers, for shit's sake.
Point made exactly. Everybody else has
the guy. The guy that mastered revolver division, right?
Yeah. I'm actually classified in revolver, like C or D, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm an M and everything, but I actually have a C or D level classification in revolver.
That's the one you got to go by. Yeah, yep. You can't. You tell people that you're a GM or you're an M, and they log in and see that your percentage is like 72%. They're like, what? It's like, it's not that hard to look up a classification record. So,
yeah.
GM and PCC. So that makes you an M and everything else, you chucklehead.
Yeah. That's one thing. And I'm not advocating change, but I just think that if you can shoot a rifle super good, that does not mean you can shoot a pistol to master level.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I mean, a lot of that is mental and stage planning. I don't think it's so much the ability to go between a rifle and a pistol. There's definitely a gap. But if you can shoot a rifle at these matches at a GM level, not classified, but if you can shoot,
I was gonna say, let's separate classifier versus match.
If you can shoot the match at a GM level, you can probably master pistol. It won't be that big of a difference because all the stage planning is moved. I mean, hell, the movements are harder getting around.
Oh, very hard.
Much. It's just you're doing all of the other steps. You're understanding the sport to a degree to make GM and rifles. You're definitely going to be able to make it. Might just take you a little bit longer with the iron sights.
Yeah, that's true. I've made the correlation to the fact that, you know, you throw a postal match that gets, and you can probably tell me exactly how many competitors, but dozens of clubs all over the country to run it. And it has real courses in it, not just, you know, short little 12 round speed shoots. And I'd love to see something, you know, of that level. And we are getting classifiers. I'm not saying that we're not, but we're getting some new classifiers that are less just stand and shoot speed shoots, but things that actually test the things that a major match tests.
So there's two different schools of thought there. So one school of thought is the classifiers need to represent the stages that you would see at your, you know, level twos, level threes. And there's also a school of thought, well, those stages don't actually test anything in particular. And that's where the divide is. So you got these guys that are like, well, yeah, but I see that there's, you know, four arrays of target, or there's that one classifier. It's got the four targets on the right, four in the middle around the wall, and the last four on the left. So that's 4-4-4, right? And that's the kind of stage. Like, if you were shooting that as the stage for a match, you would be like, this is fucking disgusting. Mm-hmm. But because it's a classifier, you kind of understand that it's what? It's a classifier. Everybody's trying to shoot it to the same degree, but it's not actually really testing anything. Maybe your ability to shoot those first couple targets, like in the way that you would engage them coming into that second position. But otherwise, everybody's going to have to shoot the stage almost identically. The difference would be, you know, single stack and production versus a limited and open shooter. But, and the other school of thought being, well, let's test something, and you end up with a stage that has, which they've done, I can't remember the name of these damn stages.
Not me either.
It's got two starts, but it's a little bit of like a, I don't know, it's like a 20 foot. It's a little bit of a narrow area, and you got some targets initially, targets downrange, and you actually have to shoot those targets, get downrange, shoot those targets. Or, and then in the reverse order, that's great. That tests your ability to retreat on while you're shooting, your target selection, because you have to shoot three targets, reload, shoot three targets, how you want to handle that, tackle that. Great. Great stage as far as a classifier, great stage as far as a stage, like in a match, that would be an awesome stage because it would really test people's ability to do it. I'm not a big fan of the ones that are just like, hey, pick this gun up off the table and shoot strong hand for six shots. Like that's your test. I'm like, gross. So it's tough to find that balance when you're designing stages. You want there to be a higher round count. You want there to be fun. But you also want to try to challenge people to do different things. In the past with a postal match, I've tried really hard to make sure that happens. You're getting a test of, you know, ability and a lot of fun. Unfortunately, last year I didn't do as good of a job, especially, you know, with the drawings, and there was a little bit of inconsistency. So we've started working on. I've got three of the stages completed, pictures, you know, they've been set up, all measurements taken. I'm waiting on my two celebrity stage designers, and then I'll have the last ones done. And then, so we're releasing the IDPA, USPSA, and Steel Challenge postal match, all from Go Fast, Don't Suck. They're completely free of charge to the matches and to the competitors. There's no money making to be had there. It's just, let's all get together and test our skills at a national level. And hell, with IDPA, it's world level, so that'll be interesting.
It is for USP, for Steel Challenge too.
Yeah, it's still, well, yep, Steel Challenge is worldwide. So, because that's one that you can get away with in a few countries that you can't play around, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so far we've kind of skirted the IPSC thing a little bit on that. I don't think it's going to be a complete thing we'll be able to skirt forever, but.
Well, you mean USPSA and IPSC?
Yeah.
As far as not doing IPSC only targets?
No, I'm saying for like for Steel Challenge. I think there's going to be a time where IPSC's going to say, hey, if you're running this and it's our clubs too, and you know.
Oh, that would be a mess. Well, yeah, because it's owned by USPSA. Yeah, but
that's the thing is we own it. It's not us having USPSA matches there like the whole drama thing was a few years back.
Yeah.
So, do you have any closing comments you'd like to make?
Hell, I didn't even know half the comments I was going to make when I got on here. I didn't have a plan.
That's good. Well, that's good. You know, it usually works out better without a plan. Do you have sponsor codes to give out to our listeners?
You know what? No. And I don't do that. I just don't do it. I did initially because it was like the thing that I saw everybody doing. But I'd rather if you were going to make a purchase, there's people that, you know, have sponsor codes. If you want to use their sponsor codes, I'll refer you to them if you really need, you know, to catch that extra 10% off. But I'm looking at like the sport and the sponsors, and I'm saying, look, everybody's struggling right now. Like everybody's just trying to get these matches on. Everybody's trying to, you know, promote. And you got these companies that are the companies that I deal with, Atlas, you got Hunters HD Gold, Blue Bullets, Red Hill Tactical, Bobby Q. I know I'm Google Rebus and Premier, right? And these are people that are putting their energy into sponsoring matches, and they're either going there in person or they're sending certificates or they're sending product to these matches, and it's coming out of their bottom line. And I'm like, look, if they're helping making your match better and you actually feel like their product is worth buying, why don't we just go ahead and spend the money with them? I'll refer you to a guy if you need the discount code, like if you really need that extra 10%, but I'd really like to see people just supporting the people that support us instead of trying to get handouts. But you know,
absolutely. And the one other step with that, the stuff like you're doing, talking about being a vendor, and this is something I've done for years. I'd love to see more people do. If there's a question you have about a product, walk up and ask somebody, because that's why those people are there. It makes our day of working as a vendor so much nicer when we have somebody to talk to, right?
Well, I mean, not only that, but if you see a sponsored shooter, and whoever they might be sponsored for. I mean, hell, I had JJ just hand me his Beretta one time. He's like, mm-hmm. Check this out, right? Like, they're sponsored by these companies, so they can show you what they got. If you do see me at a match or you see my booth at a match and you have not gotten the test fire of 40 cal Atlas, come over. I will hand you demo ammo and you can go play that gun in a berm and see why it is that I shoot it. We'll see why these people are spending the money on this gun. Come ask us. Anybody. You see somebody wearing a, I don't know, even the Glock guys. I'm sure they'd love to talk to you about their Glock.
I think if you handled some of those Glocks, you would actually be pretty impressed at the things that are done to those Glocks. You know? Yeah.
All the things you have to do to a Glock to make it shootable in the sport.
Yeah.
You know what pisses me off, though? Look, we say that, but, you know, all the stuff I did to my SIG when I was shooting carry optics, and I was really proud about, you know, I did this and did that and made it shoot real nice. And I actually handled Mason's freaking 320. I was like, this feels completely stock. It's gross. He's like, yeah, it is. He's like, and I'm 15% above your score in production. I'm like, you dick. he didn't say that. That was all my mental game. But I got to handle his SIG. I was like, this is terrible. I got beaten. He didn't even bother to like get rid of the mess that's inside the magwell. Mm-hmm.
I used to shoot LTT Beretta.
Go ahead. You're good.
I used to shoot an LTT Beretta. Well, I was standing somewhere on a range and I said, you know, hey, Ernie, well, show him your Beretta, because I didn't have the gun with me today. And he just kind of looked at me like, no, go away. And I looked at him. And so the match goes on, and I'm standing there. I'm like, so why wouldn't you let that guy look at your gun? He's like, step over here to the safety area. And hands me his gun, and I'm like, the trigger on this thing sucks, dude. This is almost stock. He's like, yeah, I sold the other gun that I was working on yesterday. So this is a fresh one right out of the box.
Yeah.
Oh, well. And that's what it is. You know, a lot of times you'll find a great shooter that doesn't go nearly to the level of some of the rest of us do just to make our gun, you know, that hair, that, you know, either the hair trigger or just the way we want it or whatever. They just pick up the gun and shoot it.
I totally would have won if I could have gotten them splits off a tenth faster or whatever.
You know, exactly.
200 faster.
But if it just worked on my grip. They would have
only spent another $300 on my $500 gun.
I joke with people that, and I tell them, because I do some training also, mostly here locally. I haven't got into the whole travel nationally thing. But I tell people it is easier to upgrade equipment than it is to upgrade skill. It may cost more, but it's definitely easier to put a few $100 into your gun than it is to actually get up and train every day.
And that's what you get beat by. You get beat by the people that are training.
Yep. Absolutely. So if you guys see Bill, you know, ask him to shoot the match with his Atlas. I mean,
You know what? I've done it. We had a guy, his gun went down to Area 8. And I just let him, I was like, oh, well, mine works. Here, take this. Go make sure your ammo runs through it before you shoot it. Make sure it hits chrono before you go out and play the rest of the match with it. But
yeah, so that's what, you know, every sponsored shooter is pretty much out there. That's why they were given a discount, is to help the sale of the product. And if you see people out on the range, you know, selling stuff, check it out. You know, they're taking time out of their life and their business to support our sport. So try to support them. And I got to see the ear guy, because somewhere I have lost one of mine.
You lost one of the two?
One of the two earplugs.
You know, he sells them with a tether, right? Like,
I hate that tether. I always
Even around your head and neck, you should be able to
shoot.
Get
I shoot multi-gun. Have you ever gotten your ear pro caught in your rifle?
Oh, yeah, no. I wouldn't. With the rifle, you've got to take that shit off there.
Yeah. So I had no tethers, and I don't know what happened, but it's going to give me a great excuse that when I see him, I can upgrade to something with Bluetooth now.
You know what? He's got some really cool shit. I know that they've done, he does work with like the AirPods.
Mm-hmm.
And they put like a, I don't know what to call it. It's like a sleeve over the AirPod that lets it fit your ear canal a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quote me on this. I haven't seen him since last year, so I don't recall the conversation, but I'm not sure if that turns it into actual hearing protection or just makes it stay in your ears. So don't hold me to that. I don't have that info on hand.
I've had a couple of different, you know, the cheaper version ones, and I've come to the conclusion that I want something that, you know, that electronically shuts off, because I don't like taking my ear pro in and out. Every time I do, I lose them. And that's the reason I was cheap and did not get the ones that shut it off. So I would always, you know, kind of open them up a little bit or take them out so I could hear. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that's what happened. I forgot what pocket I stuck it in, or it fell out whenever I grabbed my car keys or something. So I'm definitely going to get something I can just leave in all day and then put in a nice case at the end of the night and hear with all day long.
Yeah. Then you're going to forget to charge it. I've got your number, man.
That's possible. That's very possible. I do forget things. That should be my nickname. Steve forgets things, Money Penny. I actually showed up to a Nationals one time without my entire rig. I had my gun and my magazines, but I didn't have my holster or any of my mag pouches.
You know what? That's another thing. As long as you remember to bring your gun, I plan to have everything to let you build a rig if you need it.
That's awesome.
Like I started that last year. I think the first match where I actually had everything at was the Carolina Classic down in North Carolina, and then the Virginia match is where I had it. Then it's the second time, but yeah, everything. We'll have everything from holsters to held to freaking pro grip. So you know, pacing guns. God, that,
you know, I need to pick up one of those too.
Yeah, please come. Grab one. I don't list them on the website because I'd rather have that stuff with me on hand at the range. But there are, I do have a pretty good quantity of Red Hill Tactical holsters here on hand. I've started taking pictures of them, putting them on the website. Those are the ones I actually physically have here. So if you've got a need and you don't want to wait and you can't find one off their website, come check to see if I've got it on mine, and I'll just ship it straight from my house to you. So
that is awesome. And I know there's been a few other people that have wanted to try that and do that in the past. And I think Amazon killed one of them. We had a pretty big post about that. Amazon's killer on that stuff. But yeah, so hit gofastdontsuck.com and check out your
.net, please. .net, please.
.net? You're a .net. You don't have .com.
No, it's somebody's been sitting on it since I initially looked. It came up for renewal, and they had it on auto renew, I think. So it auto renewed. They're not doing anything with it. So, or go to dryfireonly.com.
Dryfireonly.com. I have a funny feeling this is going to be like the whitehouse.com.
No, it's not whiteparty.org either. Just it was a joke. So we were doing a meme about something like, you know, place where people that, all these guys that dry fire all the time in their Instagram videos can get together, dryfireonly.com. So I bought the domain and just have it shortcut right to the website. So
that's awesome. Well, I'd definitely like to thank you for coming on. It was definitely a pleasure. And if anybody wants to get a hold of you, what are the best ways to get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of us through orders@gofastdontsuck.net. See me at a match. There's a contact information on the website, or what most people do is just shoot me a message on either Instagram or Facebook, and then I refer them to my email address.
And what is your Insta handle?
Go fast, don't suck.
Oops. Awesome.
Yeah, it's not that hard to figure out. Sounds I didn't wear good. A shirt. I came completely unprepared.
Well, if there's anything else you can think of that you want to add in there, let me know and I'll throw out the show notes.
All right, man. You have a good night.
You too.